Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Christalina Everett. Thank you for joining me. Today, we have Dr. Ray Guarendi, and we are going to be talking about anger. And there are a lot of angry people today, and I even know I'm experiencing it. There's a lot going on. So without further ado, let's get right into it with Dr. Ray. Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Christalina Everett. Thank you for joining me. Today, we have our recurring guest, it seems like now, Dr. Ray Guarendi. Thank you for being here, Dr. Ray.
Christalina, thanks for having me. The morning where you are, isn't it?
It is the morning right now. It is summertime and all my kiddos are home, so it has been an Everett rodeo. I'm not going to lie.
Well, I see the nuclear cloud over the horizon, and I thought, it's the Everett kids again.
I don't know how, Dr. Ray, you pulled it off and did it so well, because, wow, I ask for grace every day, and I run out by the end of the day, and sometimes I run out midday, so I'm trucking along over here.
You know how I pulled it off so well?
How?
I let my wife do it. I would UPS her things on Saturdays, because that's really the day that, you know, she took a nap for maybe 12 minutes.
You know, at least you're being honest. At least you're being honest.
Hey, I did my share. I remember one time one of the kids dropped a pencil, and I told his brother, pick that up for your brother. So I've done my share of homeschooling.
There you go. You pat yourself on the back.
Got that right.
Got that right. Hey, Dr. Ray, you have come out with an excellent new book that every person on the planet needs to read right now. I am serious. Dr. Ray's new book, everyone, is Dr. Ray Guarendi, Living Calm, Mastering Anger and Frustration. And I think that literally the anger, frustration sums up everybody right now in our society with everything that's going on right now, too. The economy, gas prices, just different changes within the church, Dr. Ray. There's so much happening at such a fast pace. You can't even absorb what's happening in one day before you get to the next. And it's a whole new other thing you have to deal with. So this is a perfect book and very inspired by the Holy Spirit, especially for our times right now.
Christalina, if you could gauge all of human history, what you would see is that for the most part, people didn't know what was going on everywhere in the world. They didn't know what was going on even in the next corner in their church.
True.
They knew what was going on in their little village or their family or their clan or their tribe, and that was it. I'm not sure human beings are made to absorb this kind of negativity all the time.
You know, that's a good point. People don't think of that. We're living in a whole different generation, and just especially with technology, it's really done a number on our entire society.
Much of human history has been brutal. Much of human history has been oppressive and conquering. Look at the Jewish people. The Romans totally oppressed them. They could do anything they wanted to anybody at any time. They could take slaves. They could have absolutely no recourse. We tend to forget that. So what we do is we look at our time and we say, oh, it's never been this bad. It's never been this awful. This is so terrible. How can we survive another day like this? And I could only imagine our Lord, who sees the whole sweep of human history, saying, you know, you people have done this in all of your existence. And in many respects, right now, we're probably safer than we've ever been.
Well, if you look at it that way, yes. That's a good way of looking at things. It's maybe it is pretty bad, but not as bad as it was when the Jewish were oppressed. And they were very oppressed. And we are God's people, Dr. Ray, I would say, in a special way. And we are definitely seeing some oppression right now. And people really don't know how to emotionally deal with that. They feel helpless and they are frustrated. And there is a lot of anger that stems from that. With your book and the different techniques, what can they do to deal with what's happening right now emotionally?
Anger, frustration, Christalina, is not just an emotion. People think that. Just an emotion. No, no, no. It is also a thought. It is also perception. It is also how you interpret events, how you interpret people, what they say, how they say it, how you interpret what is going on around you. It all has to be processed. And the way you process can make you miserable, angry, and frustrated, or can actually let you ride the waves and be somewhat at peace. Unless our Lord didn't know what he was talking about when he said, be not afraid, be at peace. I'll give you peace as the world doesn't understand. Are we going to say to him, no, 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 wait, 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 Jesus. You don't understand, see, because like it's really bad now, you know what I mean? So I mean, I don't think you really mean to have peace. Did you not realize what's going on right now with us?
That makes sense. I love that picture you kind of give us all to think about of the waves, right? Because some are surfing it really calmly and others are being thrashed around by these waves and in panic and worry and fear. And how do those people get out of that?
Somebody asked me once, why did you write a book on anger and frustration? Why didn't you pick some other emotion? You know, depression or guilt or agitation. And I said, because anger and frustration are the two emotions that make us mistreat people the most. I don't say nasty things to you, Christina, because I'm sad. I attack you when I'm angry or when I'm frustrated with you. You know, you talked about your kids being at home. Now, I know, Christina, that you go to confession and you probably say, dear Lord, I was such a nice person before children. I was pretty holy. Now I'm not pretty or holy. What has happened here? Because what is that you look at your children, you get frustrated and angry because of the way you interpret it. In other words, why are they acting this way? They're not supposed to act this way. Says who? They're kids. They're doing this just to frustrate me. No, they're not. They're doing it because they're impulsive, partly socialized, partly moralized human beings. When are they going to learn? How long is it going to take them to learn? I don't want to raise some reprobate. No, Christina, it takes them a long time to learn because it takes you a long time to learn, and you have no excuse. They have an excuse. They're children. What's your excuse for repeating the same sins all these decades? You see what I mean? You have to reinterpret the way you look at things so the anger and the frustration doesn't percolate so much.
So it's really looking at that why question. It's why is this? Why am I getting so angry? Why is this triggering me so much, basically?
What am I telling myself?
Oh, that's the question.
What am I saying about this situation? For example, you mentioned our 10 children. They all had wildly diverse personalities. Some accepted what we raised them with. Some rejected it. Some looked at me as if to say, what are you trying to tell me here? Now, I recognize this, or I was forced to recognize it, and it kept my frustration at least to a minimum because I realized that was the reality. I didn't look at this and say, well, I must not be applying the proper formulas. Because as I interpreted it more realistically, I got less upset. I got less frustrated. For example, there's probably somebody in your life, maybe Jason, who can irritate you, can frustrate you, can say things that upset you. And you think to yourself, here's the thought, I don't deserve that. He shouldn't be saying that to me. I don't say that to him. What right does he have to say those things about me? That's the thought that creates the agitation. But if you were to say, well, anybody can say anything about me at any time, and I guess I got to live with that. My only worry is it true? Now, if you interpret it that way, you're going to be less upset than if you interpret it as, how dare they say that about me?
How does one get to that place? Some people listening are like, oh my gosh, that is so me. And I exacerbate and things get out of control so fast. And now they understand it's their thought pattern. But how does one get from, oh my goodness, that just agitates me, to, oh, well, that's more of Jason's perception, but that doesn't make it truth and what he's saying about me, basically. How does one get from point A to kind of that point B they want to be at, coming from the place of strength.
Crystalina, are you in a mom's group of any kind?
I used to be. I am not right now.
They kicked you out. They voted you off the island.
They booted me, Dr. Ray.
Wow, you got too old. That was for young mothers.
That's right. That's right.
When you used to be in those groups and the ladies would speak of their frustration, their upset at their spouses or their mother-in-laws or whomever it was, you sat and you offered them some pretty realistic ways of looking at the situation. You saw a better way to look at the situation. You said things like, well, your mother-in-law's done that ever since you married your husband? Oh, yeah, she's always been that way. Do you think she'll probably stay that way? Oh, yeah, yeah, that's who she is. That's the way she'll stay, of course. She says snarky things or she gives her opinion when I don't ask. Well, how long has she been doing this? As long as I've known her. Well, how long is that? 17 years. So you're still frustrating yourself over the fact that she's doing what she's been doing for the last 17 years. Now, you would sit and you would walk somebody through that. Why don't you do that to yourself?
That's true. So people kind of need to not take the bait almost and really just stop and process things before they let it get to that emotion that's going to ignite that reaction, basically.
People assume that if you do something hurtful to me, if you say something snarky, opinionated, snotty, you attack my religion, you attack my political views, whatever it is, I assume that it's natural for me to get agitated, for me to be upset, for me to rehearse what you did for the next 2 days of my life. Even though you left 48 hours ago, I'm still percolating you in my mind. Mm. They just assume that that's a natural reaction. It's not a natural reaction. It's a reaction we have to fuel. We have to think about it. We have to continue to replay it in our head instead of challenging it and saying, yeah, she's got some pretty squirrely opinions about things. I can't upset myself over this. If, Crystalina, if I were to take some of the emails that I get and say to myself, oh my gosh, I just better get off the air. Mm. Look at how this person is attacking me. If I were to absorb that, I'd have been gone a long time ago. I have to look at what they're saying and I have one question, as I said, is it true? If it's not true, then I've got to recognize that anybody can write anything. And if this person is going to write this about what I said, then they either got a problem or they got their own struggles. And that's the end of that. And I don't want to carry that for the next hour with me.
We are here talking with Dr. Ray Guarendi about his new book, Living Calm, Mastering Anger and Frustration. Dr. Ray, would you say that our society has trained us to be reactive and that's just what we're supposed to do? Because as you said that, it was kind of shocking that that is not the way. If someone says something, well, you have to react, you have to enter, you have to engage. And because that's what you see in society a lot, or that's what a person sees growing up. It's kind of how they've been programmed almost. And what you're saying is there is a completely different way and a process. If someone is doing something and you start feeling that anger or that rage or that frustration, to take that and basically process it of through the question of, is that true? Is that a true statement? Instead of, because most people in our society seem reactive these days, wouldn't you say?
I can't compare our psyche to the psyches of human history. But what I can say is, as a psychologist, I see it all the time. We are an incredibly prickly people. Mm-hmm. We are hyper-vigilant to offense. We are so delicately, fragilely self-absorbed that when someone says or does something we don't like, We either have to react and save our dignity, or we upset ourselves and absorb it for 4 days. Mm. We really have become this way. I heard something so distressing the other day. I was listening to a Catholic radio interview. The woman on there said, she's belonging to an organization that's trying to bring more free speech back to universities and college. Can you believe that?
No.
She said 56% of the surveyed universities and college have some kind of bias reporting speech code that if anyone says anything in any way that you find offensive, report them. You can do it anonymously. We have become so, so raw prickly. Now, Christians of all people should be the least that way. We should be the slowest to take offense. Sometimes we're the fastest to take offense. How can you criticize my morals? How can you demean my parenting just because I don't want them to have an iPhone at age 9? How can you do this? Don't you understand that I'm right? I'm doing it well. You don't recognize that. See, we get ourselves caught up in this, I want to be understood. I want to be accepted. I want to be praised for what I'm doing. You know, Crystalina, one of the things about getting older like me, I'm more comfortable saying, get off my lawn.
I don't care.
Get off my lawn. Don't step in the flower bed.
I love it. That's great, Dr. Ray. Well, what are the ways that people can take ownership of their thoughts, words, and actions? And does it come down to a person's own personal healing, that those things don't affect them because there is some sort of wound they're operating out of being so sensitive? Or is it something different?
Let's say that one of the kids does something, or Jason does something, or someone you know says or does something and you react.
Okay.
It either bothers you for hours, you rehearse it in your head, you react. If I were to take your thoughts and put them up on a screen and say, this is what Crystalina is thinking right now about what this person said or did. This is what she's telling herself. It'd be this big, long list of thoughts that happened so fast in your head that you didn't even realize they were there. All you know is you got upset. Mm-hmm. And your thinking was, well, I got upset because of what they did. That's what you think. That isn't why you got upset. You got upset because of what you thought about what they did. And you got to get better at analyzing your own thoughts. Crystalina, let me give you an example of how powerful thoughts are. Picture yourself at a three-sided bus shelter. You're waiting for the bus, very crowded because it's 40 degrees. I know it never gets 40 degrees where you are, but here in the Midwest, it gets 40 degrees on July 8th. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's 40 degrees and it's a sleeting rain. And the rain is blowing into the shelter. You're crowded. All the bodies are crunched together. You feel this jabbing in your heel. It feels like the point of an umbrella. You think to yourself, what's going on here? What is this? Is this some jamoke's idea of having fun? And even if it's not, what are they doing? Do they have any sense that we're all crowded together? Now, if I were to say to you, Crystalina, why are you getting so upset? You'd say, what do you expect? I'm getting jabbed in the heel. And this person, whoever it is, at the very least is thoughtless. At the very worst is mean. Mm. All right. Goes on for about a minute. You've had enough. You turn around to confront this umbrella poker. And you see that it is an elderly blind woman with a cane who is trying to keep her balance in the crush of bodies. Mm. What happened to your anger?
Dispense completely.
Immediately. Uh-huh. You didn't have to think to yourself, you're lucky lady that you can't see and that you're old. I'll tell you what, because I'd pop you straight in the head. You didn't say that. As soon as your perception changed, your emotion changed within an instant. Now, before that, if I would have said, Christine, Kristalina, why are you angry? You would have said, because I'm getting poked. That wasn't it. It was what you were saying about getting poked. You see how powerful a change in perception can change an emotion?
Yes, we kind of ignite ourselves up and the fire gets bigger and greater and then the explosion happens and then we spread it and light everything else on fire, right? We're lighting everyone up. Sure. No, absolutely. I get it. I get it. Today, we are talking with Dr. Ray Guarendi. His new book, Living Calm, Mastering Anger and Frustration. So what happens, Dr. Ray, when the closest person to us is that trigger point of just the things they say, how they act? You feel like you're constantly being blamed or it's at that family member or the people that are closest to you. Honestly, it tends to be those people that are the biggest triggers. Why is that?
Because they're the emotionally closest ones. That's one. Another one is the law of social proximity, which is anybody that you spend more time with, you're going to see the upside and the downside of their personalities. You know, the mail carrier? Oh, I think she's a nice lady. I mean, I go down to the mail and she gives me my mail and I say, hey, how you doing today? And she says, fine. How about you? I say, good. Okay, see you later. What a nice lady.
Yeah.
My contacts with most people are brief, short, and pleasant. With the people close to me, ongoing contacts, ongoing navigation of personal relationships. So as a result, they have much more opportunity to say or do things that I'm going to let myself get upset about. Now, let's say that it's ongoing. For example, I routinely get spouses saying to me, my spouse is critical. My spouse is thoughtless. My spouse is superior. My spouse is constantly putting me down in some way. I will ask, how long has this been going on? 23 years. You still let this get to you the same way it did 20 years ago? Well, it's even worse. Why is it worse? Well, because it's happened more and more and more and more, and I can only take so much. But you know this person is like this, right? You know this person says these things, right? Yes. And you know that this person, your spouse, is probably going to continue to say these things because unfortunately that's who they are and they show no desire to change this. And that's the way it's been so far. Okay. So instead of this getting you more and more upset, why doesn't it get you less and less upset? Because the person's losing credibility with me. You know, Kristalina, if you say to me, say you call somebody at EWTN and say, I was talking to Ray, he's a major jerk, okay? It was one of the stupidest interviews we've ever had, and it will be the last time I will ever call him. Now, you would have power to make me think about this. You really would. Because I know that's not the way you are. So for you to respond that way, something in what I may have done, okay? However, let's say that I say, you know, I really don't like doing interviews with Kristalina ever. She's kind of a snotty lady. She's sort of full of herself. And on top of that, she can't manage her kids. And then I say, I'll tell you what, though, I'll do it with her because a lot of people like her and it's a nice interview. Well, let's say you then call EWTN and say, Ray is really one of the biggest jerks I've ever interviewed, which my wife would probably say, Kristalina, I'm glad somebody else is recognizing this. So you would not bother me as much because I know who you are.
Yeah.
I know you can do this. It's like the spouse. It's like the mother-in-law. It's like the father. You know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you're still, after all these years,
expecting something different.
Expecting something different. You know that on Christmas Eve, she's going to make 3 or 4 comments about the fact that you homeschool and you have more than 1.86 children. She's been doing it every Christmas Eve for the last 12 Christmas Eves.
Why do we expect something different, Dr. Ray? I'm serious. You truly do. You know what? Because you want the best. You expect the best from the person. You want to give them the benefit of the doubt.
No. I want respect.
Oh.
I want
respect. You're hoping for the respect.
That's right. You're not treating me as I deserve. That's so much of when we take offense.
Wow. Okay.
You're not treating me right. You're not understanding me. You're not giving me the benefit of the doubt. You're not tolerating me. You're not forgiving me. Yeah, of course. We bristle. Crystalina, who was the only person who walked the face of the earth who never sinned against anybody?
Jesus.
They killed him.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
Many of them hated him.
You're right. He did nothing.
So are we more deserving of favor than he?
No, but we're not brought up that way, Dr. Ray. People are not wired that way. And so we are prickly. We are prickly people because we're not brought up with that mindset. So how do you change it when you've literally grown up? And this is something I really want to get into with you. And then also how anger, it's a good thing. It's not necessarily a bad thing all the time, right? Because there are a lot of injustices happening and there is a righteous anger that people have. And that's something that we'll get back into when we get back from our quick intermission with our friends over at EWTN. Stay tuned.
EWTN remembers Pope Benedict XVI.
Pope Benedict XVI wanted to equip us to fight against what he dubbed the dictatorship of relativism. So his sermons, his catechetical lessons were all very clear, teaching us the truth that was Jesus Christ. And I know that those lessons really touched my heart to see in the midst of confusion in the world, the skepticism, a lot of doubts about Catholicism, that the church was true. It was really founded by Jesus Christ.
Welcome back to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Evert. Thank you for joining us. Today we have the one and only Dr. Ray Guarendi here, and we are discussing his new book, Dr. Ray, Living Calm, Mastering Anger and Frustration. But Dr. Ray, not all anger is bad. Some anger can be very good. But before we get into that, if you feel like you're wired a certain way, but anyone can change anything, and God's grace absolutely can change a person with his mercy and his redemption. And people definitely, if they want to put that hard work in, do not always have to just be that way. That's the excuse. Well, I am just that way. And that's not the truth. That's a lie. But if they have been wired that way and they have seen that growing up all of their life, how do they just take that excruciating halt and redirect that and recognize it?
Most questions that people ask, Crystalina, are how? How
yes.
do I? How to?
How to?
And what they say is, give me the formula. Give me the techniques. Give me the strategy. None of those things work without the will.
That's right.
I have to want to treat you better. I have to have the will to not react so badly to something you might say to me or about me at any time. I have to want to do that. Now, for the Christian, the desire to do that is very strong because Christ says so. For the non-Christian, the only reason to do that is to get along better with people in some way, but that's not as powerful a reason as the God of the universe says, this is how we are to try to react and interact with people.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, my mother, theoretically, is opinionated. a lot of things. Gives her advice when it's not asked for. And she does that approximately 27 times a month. All right. Okay. Now, as a Christian, I'm supposed to develop some kind of easygoingness with my mother.
Dr. Ray, no. You are to tell your mother how you think and feel. You are to let her know. You are to set up boundaries. You are to assert yourself and tell her you don't appreciate her opinionatedness.
Now, as a psychologist, if someone were to try that, I doubt that they would hear from their mother, "Oh, Ray, I never thought I was like that. Thank you so much for pointing that out to me. It really will help me be a better person in the future. It's good. You know, sometimes I need to hear where I'm falling short as a person." Now, that doesn't happen.
No, wishful thinking there, right? Right.
So even if you did it once and you met with all kinds of defensiveness, then don't do it a second time.
"Well, I need to tell her how I feel."
Well, you can do that, but be careful, because it's unlikely she's going to say, "Gosh." Now, if she only did it once a month, she might say that, but she does it 27 times a month. That's who she is. All right. So you're not going to alter her personality, her style. So how do you needs to be coupled with "I want to"? Anything will work if you want to. I had a fellow one time, I was in early days as a shrink. I was a shrinkling. And I was sitting with my supervisor and we were talking about diets and various exercise programs. He said there was a meta-analysis. In other words, Kristalina, that's just a large look at a whole bunch of studies. What conclusion can you come to? They said, pretty much anything will work if you have the will. See, in psychology, the will is not something that is valued.
No, it is not.
It is not. Well, in Christianity, it is. But in psychology, it's technique. It's strategies.
If you know just the right way to do it, your kids will respond with respect. If you use the right speaking language, if the right I message is implied, if you set up a proper win-win scenario with a sticker system that has large jelly bean stickers, then this child will be ever cooperative because you've got the right technique. As a parent, you have to have the will to persevere, whatever technique you use.
That's right.
So it's the same thing with getting along with people. You have to desire for the sake of Christ to get along with them, to overlook stuff they say, to decide you're not going to take it personally. Okay, you didn't ask this, Kristalina, but I'm glad I brought it up.
Me too, Dr. Ray, me too.
The number one reason that people get angry and upset at other people is something called personalization. I take what they're doing as either a comment or something directed at me as a person. Mm-mm. They're doing this just to put me down. They're doing this to comment on my inadequacy. They're doing this to make me feel inferior. In other words, they're attacking my personhood.
So you take it personally.
Yeah, you take it personally. Yeah. I guarantee you that will upset you when you take things personally.
Yeah.
But if you look at your mother, and you say, "My gosh, 27 times a month, she gives her opinion." And you interpret it as, you know, my mom's an insecure lady. My poor mom. I mean, she's always got to be telling you how to do something. She always thinks her way is the best way to do it. What motivates her? I'm not going to take it personally. I'm not going to look at what she's telling me as, "You know, Ray, I think you're really incredibly incompetent in pretty much every area that I comment on." You know, I can view it that way if I want, and all it'll do is make me miserable every time she says something. Or I can view it as, boy, my mom is just one insecure lady that she constantly has to comment on other people.
Wow.
All in the interpretation.
Wow, Dr. Ray, that's right. It's so true. A lot of people don't think this way. We are talking with Dr. Ray Guarendi about his new book, for those of you that just tuned in, called Living Calm, Mastering Anger and Frustration. So it's really not, it really is what is motivating that person to say that.
Well, to the degree you could understand a little bit about what they're like,
yes,
who they are, it won't hurt as much. It won't upset you as much. You know, the individual who's constantly bragging, whose kids are better than yours, whose kids are more skilled than yours, whose kids are prettier than yours, whose kids make more money than yours, whatever that individual's bragging about.
Uh-huh.
If you can say to yourself, wow, what is it that's pushing this guy to have to feel so superior? How inferior he must feel.
That really is a different way of looking at things. And that's what you're trying to give people, is just looking at things differently, more rationally, and the place they're coming from. Because it's a whole new way of thinking, Dr. Ray, of what you're saying. And a lot of the times we get focused in on, well, that's, they hurt me. How dare they disrespect me, or how dare they do this and that, as if we have some sort of right to control a person's thoughts or actions, which we do not in any way. But at the same time, there is so much going on. So many people seem like they're so much more on edge and irritable just lately. And it's kind of been this crescendo leading up, and it's just getting worse and worse and worse, right? That we're all going to right now. And the thing is, not all anger is bad, though, Dr. Ray. There is good, righteous anger. Can we talk about that a little bit? And how do people deal with that as well?
Before the break, you used the word injustice. That word, I think, defines the difference between righteous anger and right-filled anger. An injustice done to another person, a hurt done to another person that I get angry about, is righteous anger. That person didn't deserve that. On the other hand, if something is done to me, all too often my anger is right-filled. I have the right to be treated with respect. Mm-hmm. I have the right to be accepted. I have the right to be understood. So the difference really between anger that is good and anger that is bad is the difference between righteous versus right-filled. Righteous anger is usually done in protection of another person.
Yes.
Sometimes anger is a motivator. I've lifted weights all my life.
It's true.
And it is. It's a motivator. It makes us do things that we don't have the strength of will to do. For example, you look at the mirror and you go, you know what? I'm just bulking up here. I don't like the way I look. I've gained 37 pounds in the last 2 years. I used to be cute. What is going on with me? And you get angry. You get upset.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do then is that motivates you to do something about it. I'll give you a small example. When I was in grad school, I was warned against this supervisor that you didn't want to have. He seemed to take some satisfaction in intimidating us little first, second year graduate students. Well, that's who I got as a supervisor. So I spent probably the first month or so meeting with this guy, being nervous, dreading it, being anxious, putting my hands on my lap so he wouldn't see him shaking when he scrutinized my approach to a patient. One day I was walking down the hall and I was thinking to myself, you know, now this is the way a guy thinks, Crystalina. A woman may not think this way. Last night, I bench pressed 300 pounds. This guy is an old man. Now, he was probably in his 40s, but when you're 24 in your 40s,
yeah, everyone's an old man.
That's right. Now it's a kid to me.
Yeah.
So I thought to myself, what am I so nervous about in front of him? This is absolutely ridiculous that I'm being intimidated. And the more I thought about it, it's a good thing it was a long haul, because I kept thinking all the way down to his office, what is wrong with me? And I was getting angrier and angrier. And I was never nervous in front of him ever again.
Wow.
The anger conquered the anxiety.
So were you intimidated by him because of the perception people gave you and it tainted that well? Or are you intimidated because he was an intimidating person?
He was somewhat intimidating, but they set me up.
That's right. And that's the thing. We have to be careful of what people are saying, because so many things get tainted that are unnecessary and that aren't meant to be, because we take in other people's perceptions of how they are seeing things, and then it rots our own.
Very good. Very well said. So I like that.
So
it rots our own.
Yes. It's a rot. It's horrible.
And that's a word that only mothers who have changed a lot of diapers would use.
That's right, Dr. Ray. You got my number right there. But Dr. Ray, it's true. And it's hard to get rid of that rot. It's like once it's done, it's really hard to undo. So how do you deal with that? Here's the how to again, right? And it's also the word that we keep using throughout this interview I'm hearing is deserving. That person, if it was an unjust, if you have that unjust, that righteous anger because something was unjust, because that person didn't deserve it, it wasn't right. Or a person gets angry because, well, they didn't deserve that. They're not getting what they deserve from that person, the right to respect almost, right? It's all about this deserving in different forms. And doesn't that go down to a person's worth?
Goes down to pride.
The level of pride that a person's at.
Sure. Well, sure. If I basically say you have no right to think about that toward me, you have no right to say those things to me. You have no right to thoughtlessly mistreat me like that. If I say that and I believe that, I'm going to get really upset.
Yes.
And I'm going to chronically upset myself if this is a person that I live with, or if this is a person I see a lot who does this. I have a phrase called be your own therapist.
I like that.
What it means is you really got to analyze what you're thinking and interpreting with this person. I'll give you an example. I was years ago at the mental health center where I worked, somebody said some things, or I got into some kind of discussion with them that got heated. And I left and I got to my car. Boy, I was just stewing. I was. The ride home was about an hour. 30 minutes into that ride, I decided, wait, Ray, are you going to stay upset all the way home? You better start thinking about what happened back there and understanding it. So as I reassessed it in my mind, I said, well, you know, this person does get like that. They've had problems with other people too. Why did I think I had to defend myself so much? Why did I have to make my case so strongly? What was my purpose? To try to convince them? Well, obviously I wasn't convincing them. Okay. Well, why did I get so upset? Well, because they didn't understand me. So I thought through all of this. And by the time I got home, I was whistling. But it took about 30 miles. Had gone 6 miles an hour for me to finally talk myself down. But the one thing it did do, even though it took that long, it didn't ruin the rest of my night at home.
See, our self-talk is so huge when it comes to our mental well-being. And that's what we give ourselves. And it's also what we allow in, right? Like I said, with the rot of, we have to kind of have boundaries there, if anything, of what we're allowing in and what we're taking in and what we think is truth or not. Right, Dr. Ray?
It's easy for me to listen to somebody who confirms the way I think. I naturally, you know, Kristalina says that Dr. Ray is just such a wonderful human being. Oh, I love Kristalina. Isn't she a wonderful lady? And Jason's thinking, yeah, you don't see her at home with the kids.
Yeah.
Well, all I know is that she's just such a sweet lady. Why? Because she treats me in the way I want to be treated. Now, I watch Kristalina yell at her kids. Well, I still think she's a nice lady. Why? Well, because she treats me nice. Mm. It all comes down to self. It all
comes down. Filter. Everyone's
filter.
Oh, my filter.
Gosh, yes.
Yes.
It all comes down to, I'll see you and measure you by the way you treat me.
Wasn't that how everybody does it?
I know. It ain't a good way to do it.
No, it's not. But that's everybody. So they have to have that filter, Dr. Ray, or consciously have a filter, which takes work, right?
That's, now you put your finger on it.
Yeah.
You've got to actually begin the process of thinking about how you think. You can't just assume, and people do this all the time. It's like Pavlov's dogs. They can't just assume that because somebody says or does something hurtful or offensive or snide or snarky or snitty or snooty or snotty. You ever notice how God put SN words together?
No, that but now
just,
I do.
Just because they do that, that automatically we have to be that upset.
Yes.
It's automatic. Trigger. It's a reflex. Goes through the spinal cord. Doesn't even go through our brain. It's just a reflex. No. It's not automatic. It is based upon my thinking about what they did, what they said, and what I'm going to do about it. You know, some of it too, Kristalina, is as simple as, I just don't want to be upset about that.
Mm-mm. Not taking it seriously, not letting it fester, huh?
Yes. People say, well, how can you say I just don't want to? Well, you just don't want to.
It's a choice, and that's where it goes back to the will, huh? I'm starting to get it, Dr. A. I'm starting to get it. Again, we are here with Dr. Ray Guarendi. Living Calm, Mastering Anger and Frustration is the new fantastic book that he has come out with. So, Dr. Ray, as we are coming to an end with this fantastic interview with you, I would like to know, can you give me, and here I go back to the how-to, I'm sorry, but that's really where most people are at, right? It just is. Of what can they do right now today? Because maybe someone's driving, they're angry and upset, and just turn on the radio and here we are, right? Oh, yeah. Here we are. So what are the top maybe three things that people can do today to maybe put that boundary up, to set that perimeter, that they don't let that in, but that they can have that thought process of, okay, well, that's their perception. That isn't truth. Who am I truly? And are they saying those things? Or maybe that person was just having a bad day and they didn't mean that for me. Or what can the person do?
In an earlier book, Thinking Like Jesus, there was a chapter called Close the Book. And Close the Book didn't refer to putting down that book. It referred to coming to the conclusion that when someone has always been a certain way and they show no signs of changing that way, you close the book. That doesn't mean you shun them. It means you stop expecting them to be any different. Mm. That's one. That's one first thing you do. Second, you get rid of the right to be understood. The right to be complimented, the right to be accepted, the right to be applauded. You get rid of it. It's not your right. Our Lord says, we're just worthless servants when you do something right. He's just worthless servants. Wait a minute. What kind of counselor talk is that? Didn't Jesus go to counseling 101 in the synagogue? You don't say somebody's a worthless servant. Yeah, but what he was saying is know your position, that you don't deserve accolades. What you want to do is please God.
That's right.
So get rid of that self-focus that says, you shouldn't treat me that way because I don't deserve it because I'm a good person and I'm a nice person and I'm a holy person and you just don't recognize that. You really got to fight that. That's just so ingrained in us.
Mm-hmm.
And the third thing is always ponder your interpretation. How am I looking at this person? How am I looking at this situation? What am I telling myself? I really want to get down to it. I don't want to just assume that I'm automatically upset because something happened.
Okay. No, that's excellent. It's very true. And when it comes to using our will, Dr. Ray, it seems like that's really kind of the weapon in all of this, the defense in all of this is really using and utilizing the gift of our will that God gave us to actually engage or not engage, which takes our mental capacity. But wouldn't you say it also takes the heart? And I feel like sometimes people have a hard time connecting the two. It seems like it's one or the other, but not both.
If someone is not a follower of Christ, it is much more difficult, I believe, for them to self-improve. Mm. Why? If I feel that I have every right to think the way I think and to criticize you, why would I change that? Okay. The only thing motivating would be self-interest, which is, well, I got to get along better with you because it's unpleasant not to get along with you. But short of that, why would I want to alter my personality when I think I'm right? But if Christ says, Ray, you're not permitted to do that. You're not permitted to say those kinds of things. You're not permitted to react that way to someone you supposedly love. Mm-hmm. Well, now that's the God of the universe telling me how I'm supposed to act. It isn't Ray Guarendi saying, well, you know, I just decided I better be nicer to my wife. Why? Well, because she cooks meals. The reason is much deeper when you're a Christian.
That's right. The God of the universe is asking you to do something versus like Jason asking me to do something.
Yeah, God of the universe is a little tough to refuse. I mean, he controls a lot of things.
It's a little more difficult. So if someone says, well, I'm a Christian, I'm a Catholic, I love God, but their actions say different, I guess you just know a tree by their fruits, huh, Dr. Ray?
St. John says, how can you say you love God whom you don't see when you don't love those who you do see?
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty powerful stuff. Don't say you love God if you're turning around and mistreating other people.
That's right. That's right. And well,
one of the things I hear on the radio show that really, really throws me for a loop is when somebody says, my mother is not talking to me anymore. Why not? Well, because of this, this, and this. I say, well, what's your mother like? Oh, she's a daily communicant. Really? Really now?
It's like, well, is she? I understand. Wow, Dr. Ray, thank you so much for your wisdom, your guidance as usual, and this phenomenal book, Living Calm, Mastering Anger and Frustration. And where can people buy this book, Dr. Ray, and find more information about you and all of the wonderful things you have?
Two easiest places. One is my website, drray.com, drray.com. The other is EWTN's website, EWTNRC.com. So either way, get the book there.
And they both are excellent websites. Well, thank you so much for being here. And I'm sure I'll have you on again. And God bless you, Dr. Ray, and everything that you do. I want to thank my guest again, Dr. Ray Guarendi, for being here. And just a reminder that there is confession in most Catholic parishes this afternoon. So take advantage of God's grace and mercy and go to confession. There is nothing more important in your life right now than to be right with God. Have a great weekend, everyone. God bless.